Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to the Connecting Soul Beings podcast, offering you inspiration, tips, and learning about tuning into the language of your soul and gain a deep, intuitive understanding of your inner self, your guides, and the animals around you, so you are able to live from your heart with grace, love, and gratitude. We bring together spiritual leaders, energy healers, and awakened humans, so we are able to collaborate and help you feeling loved, joyful, and free by providing clear direction on how to connect soul to soul. Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to another episode of the Connecting Soul Beings podcast. This particular episode was recorded during the 2018 Connecting Soul Beings Summit. This summit contains 28 experts and thought leaders, and we created this event to help conscious, self-aware soul beings and animal lovers to have inspiration and practical guidance on how to feel connected and in alignment, filled with beautiful energy. You can also watch the videos of these episodes on our YouTube channel, which is listed in the show notes. Please enjoy. Hello and welcome to yet another wonderful day here at the online summit Connecting Soul Beings. I'm very pleased to announce Angela Council. Angela lives here in Sydney, Australia, and she is a stress and lifestyle expert as well as a speaker. And she runs her own magazine called Mega Women. Now, Angela and I had a wonderful conversation around what to do to actually connect to yourself, to reduce stress, and to live a life even when you run a business and have a family. Angela also focuses specifically on women going through menopause and what that means and how we can go through that with ease and grace. In the end, it is all about connecting to ourselves, which is a wonderful process to tap into. So I invite you to sit back and relax, grab yourself a cup of coffee and tea, and enjoy the conversation. Well, welcome. We are here with Angela Council from Sydney, Australia. And Angela is a women's transformation coach and also the founder of MAGA Women's Project. Welcome, Angela.
Hello, Bianca. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yes, I'm excited for this conversation.
Yeah,
let's see where it goes.
Absolutely. It's good to have a fellow Aussie. Excellent, excellent. So share a little bit about yourself and why you've actually decided to join the summit.
So my original background, I was in corporate for many, many, many years, and I kind of got stressed out and decided to basically at the age of 40 to just change, just throw in a very successful career and become a naturopath. And off I went to naturopathic college. And within the first month, I was pregnant with my first child, and everything changed. My world changed from there on in. So I went on. I went on to become a naturopath. Worked in clinic for many, many years. I actually had two children whilst I was studying, and I worked in clinic. But then I'm type A personality, so I tend to burn out. So I burn out a few times, and in clinic, I burnt out and decided it was time for me to take a little bit of a step back and really look at what I was doing. And whilst I love the health side of things and helping people, what I realized that many people were coming to me because they just wanted a safer pill than what the doctor was giving them. And that's not what I was about. I mean, I love my herbs. I love using herbs. I love nutrients. But just prescribing a pill wasn't the solution. I wanted to educate people. I wanted to take them on a bit more of a journey. And I'm also qualified in a technique called the Lifeline Technique, which is very similar to kinesiology. And that's all about connecting emotions that sit behind the physical symptoms. And so when I got into the emotions of things, I knew I couldn't just keep prescribing. So I then changed my business a little bit and became more of a coach rather than a naturopath. Still have the skills and the knowledge as a naturopath, but now I coach women. And specifically at the moment, I'm working with women who are in the mid-stage of life. Around about 45 to 55, 65, who are going through their change in their hormonal changes, so menopause, perimenopause, which is very physical for some women, but it's really, really emotional for most women, and they don't really understand what it's going to be like until they get there. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually on a mission to make the word menopause normal. Instead of making it a big secret, because no one ever really wants to talk about it, it's not till we get there and we realize it's not what we expected it to be. I want to normalize menopause. And I also support women, because I think one of the things that we're missing within as women, and look, not just women, as people, we're missing the connection. We're missing our villages. We don't have villages anymore. Before, we were always part of a community, mm-hmm. and we had that physical connection, and we never were alone. But that's not the way we live our lives anymore. You know, we're connected, but we're connected online, but we all kind of live in our own little boxes. And there's people that don't even know who their neighbours are. I mean, I'm lucky. I know my neighbours. We've got really good neighbours here. But a lot of people don't know who their neighbours are. They live in apartment blocks, and they don't know who lives around them. And I think that, and particularly for women, I think that we truly need our women's circle. And when we get to this mid stage of life, we need it more than ever. And that's what I'm trying to create. Yet not only do I support people on the physical stuff that's going on, emotionally and spiritually, I think we need to bring that connection back. So I run women's circles, and we do retreats, and we do lots of things that really are all about bringing women together and sharing their wisdom, because the name of my project is called the Marga Woman Project, and Marga means wise woman. And women, when they get to this stage of life, have got so much wisdom to share. But unfortunately, our society doesn't respect the knowledge that we have. Many women feel that when they get to this stage of life, when they're not in the active mothering role anymore because their, you know, children have grown up, that they no longer matter, that they become invisible. I've had so many women say, I feel like I'm invisible. Where in fact, that's actually where the core of our society is with women like us. You've got that wisdom. And if we want to change the world, it's women in this age group that I believe are going to change the world, because we've got so much to offer and we're just being ignored. So, yeah, so why am I on this summit? It's all about connection. That's why I'm here. It is all about connection. And I think that, you know, even though we're sitting here at the moment online, there's still a connection to us and to each other. And I, you know, I'm just very much about finding that connection as often and as wherever I can. So if I can find connection when I'm connecting to someone else, then I'm allowing someone else to be connected. So it's all about connection for me.
Beautiful. Yeah, awesome. That's why I'm so excited too, because especially, you know, with the women's circles and the menopause, it is a bit of a controversial topic to talk about that, even women amongst each other, I find. Because I'm reaching the age myself. And it's
you know, no one talks about it. No. And then you get there and then you realize what it's like. And it's like, in essence, when we're going through the hormonal changes that we go through at this stage of life are very similar to the hormonal changes that we went through at puberty.
Yes. And
if you can remember back to when you are that age, or if you're like me, you've actually got a daughter who's going through that stage now, you can very much see the similarities. The feeling of, I don't know what's going to happen. Mm. My body's changing and I don't understand. And all this, we went through this stage when we first got our periods. Now we're going through it as we're losing our periods. The thing is, now we've got lots more life baggage to deal with. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference, is now we've got a whole life that we didn't have when we were 12 or 13.
Exactly.
Now we've got all this baggage. We've got children, we've got partners, we've got everything that we've now got to deal with as well.
Yeah. And I've actually never realized that. It's great that you mentioned that it's, you know, a similar process to when you were younger, going into that puberty. That's really fascinating. I've never looked at it from that point of view. That's great.
Yeah, because it's very similar hormonal changes that are happening. Mm.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And our body is changing. And a lot of us aren't sure of what's going to happen, because things are changing. Yeah, and then people just say, oh, it's part of getting old. But it's not part of getting old. In a way, there's hormonal changes that are happening, but we get to menopause these days, we get to menopause, many of us very much stressed out.
Yeah.
So all symptoms that we're experiencing are symptoms really of burnout, mm-hmm. or also our livers aren't working as well as they should do because most of us are drinking wine to get through it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's diet and lifestyle, and that's actually impacting the changes within the hormones, which means our symptoms can become worse than if we were not stressed out, if we were having a healthy diet and our livers weren't kind of struggling to cope with things. So it's made worse by all of these things, because there's some women who don't have any symptoms. There's some societies, if we go back to the traditional societies, and even if we went back to our great-grandmothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, they didn't experience menopause in the same way we did. Mm. They just went on. They didn't have the symptoms that we have. We're having the symptoms that we have now because of the lifestyle and the choices we've made before we got here.
Yes, yes. And that's also a really interesting point, because I actually had that conversation with my partner last week. I actually said to her, I go, this is really weird. I can never remember, or cannot even remember, that my parents have gone through similar stressful scenarios that we are experiencing. Very well have, but, you know, it wasn't as obvious. Whereas now I feel like we are under such pressure sometimes, or we put ourselves in those pressure points.
Yeah, it's constant. Because I can remember having a similar conversation of quite a few years ago with my sister-in-law. And she said, because we did actually have a bit of a disagreement over it, because she said, well, when in the war, in times of war, it was more stressful because they were getting notification that, you know, their sons were dying, their husbands were dying, all of that. We don't have that stress anymore. But I don't believe that we have less stress in our lives now. I think we have more, because we have constant stress. Mm-hmm. And the constant stress is coming at us all the time. And whilst, yes, it's absolutely horrific, you know, in times of war when you get these types of, you know, this news, but it's kind of like it's an instant in time, which over time you become used to that news. So it's no longer stressful.
Yeah.
To start with, it's stressful. But now we wake up first thing in the morning, we've got a phone sending notifications to us. We've got emails. All of a sudden, you want to open your emails up. You've got 100 emails that have just come in overnight that demand your attention. And whilst you might not think that is stressful, there's a part of your brain which does think it's stressful. It thinks it's under attack. So the primitive part of your brain thinks it's under attack. And all of a sudden, all this stuff is, you're getting information shoved in all the time. Yeah. And that part of your brain, the lizard part of your brain, is just kind of going, whoa, I can't cope, and it just shuts down.
Mm.
And that's when it starts to produce stress hormones, and cortisol is the main one. Cortisol is a long-term stress hormone, and it releases every 12 seconds for as long as that part of your brain thinks it's under stress, and that can go on for years and years and years. And for many women, they live their life basically on cortisol overload, so much cortisol running around in their body, that it gets to a stage that when they then get to menopause, their adrenals can't cope anymore. Because as our hormones drop, our reproductive hormones drop, and our ovaries stop producing estrogen, and we stop releasing eggs so we don't get any more progesterone, the adrenal glands are supposed to take up the production of those hormones. So rather than having a sudden drop in hormone, it should just be a gradual drop, because the adrenal glands actually takes over the production of those hormones, so we don't notice such a big shift. The problem is our adrenal glands are exhausted. Mm. So it can't produce the right type of hormones. It can't produce estrogen. It can't produce progesterone, because it's struggling to produce cortisol, which is what we need to keep alive. So cortisol keeps us alive. Estrogen and progesterone doesn't. And that's why when those hormones drop, we experience symptoms.
Yeah,
but it's
exactly.
Not because of those hormones dropping. It's because the adrenal glands can't cope. And that's because we're so stressed by the time we get to this stage of life, because we've put everything into everyone else and not into ourselves. We've raised, you know, families, we've run business, we've worked in corporate, we've had partners, we've done all of that stuff, mm-hmm. and we've got nothing left.
Yeah.
And that doesn't take into account the diet, the exercise and all that type of stuff that we've probably ignored as well over the years.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So what can we do about that? What can we do to make it easier for us to go through that process?
Well, ideally, I'd like to get every woman from about the age of 35 starting to look after herself, because really to prepare for menopause, we need to be starting at least 10 years before we get into what we call perimenopause. So it's around about 35, but that's probably not going to happen realistically. So realistically, the things is actually really looking at, you know, what's stressing you? Why are you stressed? Now, there's physical things we can look at when it comes to stress, and that's looking at diet, because if our body's not getting the right nutrition, it's physically stressed. Mm-hmm. So we look at what food are we putting into our body? Are we putting nutritious food into our body? Mm-hmm. There is food and there's nutrition. So nutrition is what our body requires, and food that comes from nature is full of nutrition. The other stuff that's made in a factory is not really food. It's food-like substances and has very little nutrition in it.
Yeah,
and any nutrition they put in it is generally synthetic and not actually to be able to use by the body. So we start with what type of nutrition are we putting into our body?
Yeah.
We're going to also look at, are we drinking enough water, or are we drinking too much caffeine and alcohol and no water?
Mm-hmm.
Big one for so many women is sleep.
Oh,
we need to be getting enough sleep. Actually, I'd actually say number one is sleep. Sleep comes above everything else, because that's the thing that we're missing the most.
Yeah, and water would probably be number two.
Yes, because we're chronically underslept, we're chronically dehydrated, and then we're chronically undernutrition.
Yes.
And if we looked at those three things, just those three things alone, you would change the way your body functions. You would change the way your life is, because your body's no longer stressed. So when your body's stressed, it starts giving out physical signs. Good, yes, I've got mine too, my herb tea. But when your body's stressed, it gives out physical signs, and that's in the the way it speaks to you is in symptoms, so aches and pains and bloating and all that type of thing, because the body doesn't have a voice that says, hey, you're not looking after me. What it says is, I'm tired, I'm achy. That's how it speaks to you. So we need to listen to the voice that it's got.
Yes.
So when we look at, you know, sleep, water and nutrition, we deal with that. And then the next bit after that, really a lot of that then becomes emotional.
Mm.
And it's about, I believe that we need to start taking responsibility for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Responsibility for where we are right now. If you don't like the life you've got right now, you need to accept that you created it in some way or form. Whether or not you physically created it or you were just there, it's the way you've reacted to it. Somehow you've manifested that in your life.
I agree.
People who are, got too much weight on, I know that I'm holding a bit of weight, but I have to accept that I put that there.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not it's because I made decisions about not exercising, or I made decisions about the type of food I ate, or big one, because stress puts weight on, particularly around the waist. When you're highly stressed, it's very hard to burn fat. So, I made the decision that I wasn't going to deal with my stress, and my body paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we've created, we have in our life, we create, whether we actually create it or we create it via our reaction to something.
Yes.
By taking that responsibility and stop blaming the outside world for what's going on, when we accept, okay, well, this is where I am.
Yeah.
Because I'm the common denominator. So anything that goes on, if you're arguing with anybody or anything that's not right in your life, have a look and see who's always there.
Yes, definitely.
No matter, you are the common denominator. And the thing is, the only person that you can change is you.
Yeah.
You change the way you react, you change the way you behave, you change the way you think. All of that.
Excellent. Yeah.
And it's like when we start taking responsibility for ourselves, then you make different decisions, you make different choices, because you can then come from a place of love rather than a place of fear. And I think many of us live in fear, fear of not having enough, fear of not being good enough, fear of all this stuff, lack.
Yeah.
But then if we actually take responsibility and say, hey, look, I've actually got the power here. The power is always with you.
You've
got your own power. And it's, even if it's just the power to decide how I'm going to react in this moment. Because if the world's falling apart around you, then you may not be able to change that, but you can change the way you look at that. So I think that, and that, I think that's the big thing, is like, look after yourself physically, look after yourself emotionally, and then the spiritually is your connection to something greater than you, and where your faith lies, and whether or not that faith is within God, it's within universe, Buddha, whatever it is, whatever the source energy is, but have a faith that there is something greater than you that you probably don't understand, and that being, that source energy, has actually got your back all of the time.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's like, and because when you've got someone on your, that you know, no matter what, is always on your side, it's like, okay, I really don't need to worry about this, because I'm going to give it to the universe. Universe, whatever's supposed to happen, I just need to show up as me and do what feels right for me.
Yes, yes.
And I think that, and that's one of the big things, you know, all of this is the stuff that I'm wanting to share with women, because I think we've lived a life very much of not being valued for who we are. We see the Me Too movement that's going on. And in a way, I think, I mean, that's just a product of the way we grew up. I mean, and when they talk about the things that, you know, have happened, I know that when I grew up and when I was a young woman, that was just the way it was. Because we, I don't know whether what we didn't know any different, or that was just the way life was. And so because at some stage we lost our feminine power, and probably because we were trying to be too masculine.
Yes. Yeah, I tend to agree with that, in particular when you work in an environment that is quite masculine as well.
That's right, because you know, we wanted to compete. We wanted to be equal to men.
Yeah, exactly. And in fact, exactly.
When you really look at it and we go back, because I'm very much about, I look at past cultures and what culture was like before. And somewhere, and actually it was around about the Industrial Revolution when that occurred, there was a big shift. And there was a shift from a matriarchal society to a patriarchal society, because that's when men took over, men built factories, men sent everybody to work, men said, okay, from the hours of 9 to 5, I'm going to own you and I'll pay you a wage for it. And everything changed, schooling changed, everything changed when we went into the Industrial Revolution. And it was a real shift from women to men, because traditionally, if we look at it and we go back, the men weren't in charge. Women were in charge. The men were sent out to do the hunting and to fight and all of that.
But the women
ran the village.
Yes, exactly. That's right.
But there was a shift at some stage, and whether or not it was men didn't like, I don't know what happened, why there was a shift, but there was a shift at some stage when we moved from the cavemen, from being hunter-gatherers, into a more industrial agricultural society. And that's when it became more important to be strong, at which the men were, you know, because they were out there on the farms, they were in the factories, all of that. So that's when that shift happened. But if we go and look at some of the more traditional cultures that are around, even still today, the women are the ones, they're not in charge, but they're the leaders. The women are the leaders. They're very much respected for who they are. I've just come back from South America and went into one of the villages. They have floating villages on Lake Titicaca, and like the entire village is made up of reeds that floats. You go on there and met all the locals that were living on this particular island.
Yeah,
and they turned around and they pointed to this woman and said, "That's the boss mama."
Yeah.
She's in charge. And she actually wasn't even the grandmother. She was the daughter. So there was the grandmother, the daughter, and then the granddaughter. So she was the daughter, so in the middle of the levels. But she was the boss. And they said, because she's the one, they feed them. Women feed them. You know, that's they keep everything together. And I think that's what we've lost. As women, we've lost it.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Because we spend so much time trying to compete with men, and we don't need to compete with men.
No, not at all. But we're competing with ourselves too, not just the man.
That's right. But we're competing with the masculine side of ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we just need to be ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think at some stage in our society, we lost the, the homemaker, the woman that stayed at home and looked after children, did the cooking and all that. That kind of, they got lost.
Mm.
That's where the power lies. Yeah. There's no recognition for a woman that stays home and raises children. Governments don't pay you anything for doing that.
It's one of the hardest jobs in the world.
That's right. And yet women were doing that as well as going out and earning a living.
Yes.
Two full-time jobs.
Yeah.
And still not getting the recognition for it, because it was just accepted. Well, you're the mother, you're going to raise children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's where I think I actually don't know where this conversation started, but
it doesn't matter. It's all good. All in good timing, isn't it?
I mean, it started with drinking more water, but I don't know how we got around. But I think that's
stressed. That was what we were talking about.
Oh, that's right. Are we more stressed? Yes, we're definitely more stressed. We're trying to do two full-time jobs. Raise a family, be part of a... I mean, we're doing more than two.
And have animals in the family.
Yeah, we're doing everything.
Yes, yes, definitely, definitely. In your little introduction, I picked up on that you were talking about that you are a type A personality.
Yes.
What does that mean? I think type I know a. what it means, but I'm just really...
So that comes from, I think it's the DISC Perth profiling. Very high achiever, just have to keep working really, really hard. I spent many years working in my masculine energy.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely denying my feminine energy. So it was just like, I've got to strive and I'm just going to keep working. I've got to keep working. I've got to keep working. And I don't have time to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, I was a perfectionist. I'm not anymore, but I was, because that's how I thought. I mean, that's how I was raised. It's like, you go to school, you get good marks, you go to university, you get good marks, you work hard, you make money, and that's what life's about.
Yeah.
And that's how I was brought up. That's what I believe life to be. And so I just continue to work harder and till I couldn't go anymore, but then I just beat myself up, and then just basically sometimes I'd take a rest, but not for very long, and then I was back in and working really hard again. Mm. Because that's the only way you can be successful. That's what we're taught. You can only be successful through working hard.
Yes.
It's actually other ways, and also looking at what is success. And I had to have to sit back and go, well, what is success for me? Mm. And is it having, a bank account that's got so much money in it? Well, the answer is probably no. Success for me is to be able to, if I want to walk down the road to the beach and sit on the beach for half an hour, that I can do that because I've got choice. Success for me is freedom. It's flexibility.
Yeah.
It's to be able to, and I'm lucky. I can do that. I can walk. You can't see it behind me, but the ocean is right behind me. It's like I go and stand out there. I can see the ocean, and it's that close. I can just go down there, and every morning, if I want to, I can go sit on a beach. Yeah. I can go sit in my backyard, and I've got a swimming pool. It's and I've got a bush in the right behind me. So I've got a bush behind me, and I've got the ocean in front of me. What more could you want?
Both worlds, eh?
It is. It's like, what more could you want? And when it comes to success, I'm successful because I've got that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that don't have that. And I think that we spend a lot of time chasing the dollar.
Mm.
But when I was chasing the dollar, I mean, there was a time when I was being paid a lot of money every day just for turning up when I was a consultant. You know, and if this is like 15 years ago, I was paid $1,000 a day to turn up.
Mm-hmm.
Before I did anything, that's how much I was paid. I was very successful. I mean, to me, even now, $1,000 a day is pretty good. In those days, it was even better.
Yes.
I was stressed out. I was burnt out. I hated my life. I thought that I was, even though people were paying me a lot of money, I felt like I just wasn't good enough and that they were going to find out what a fraud I was because I didn't know what they were paying me for. All this stuff just used to go on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a miscarriage whilst I was doing that. So when I realized that I had to change it. When I had the miscarriage, I went, you know, this isn't working because my body's actually not healthy.
Yeah.
I moved out of corporate and decided to study to become a naturopath.
Yeah.
I've always had a belief, and I don't know where the belief come from, but I knew that the body knew how to heal itself mm-hmm. if I gave it the time and the space to do so. And I was never, ever going to happen whilst I continued to work in the type of jobs I was working in, which was very, very, I mean, I was working in finance, I was working in telecommunications and IT. So I was an IT project manager delivering finance and telecommunications projects. Mm-hmm. It's like, how more masculine can you get?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was leading 40 people. It's like multi-million dollar projects. It's like,
yes.
You know, how to hook up a telephone thing. I don't know. We're doing some infrastructure stuff, which I didn't even understand because of all engineering, but I was managing the project and I didn't even understand it, but didn't have to because I knew my work. But yeah. It's like, yeah, I had to, something had to change. And for some reason, naturopathy just kind of, it just felt like the right thing. It felt like getting back to understanding. I wanted to learn more about how the body worked.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to do medicine. So naturopathy gave me that, allowed me to learn how the body worked. Mm-hmm. And then the bonus was I learned the magic of herbs mm-hmm. and how plants work so well with our body.
Yeah.
And that, you know, and it really made me realize how much we are nature. We're just part of nature, but we're trying to disconnect ourselves so much from nature, but nature's where the answer is, and we need to get back into nature. And whether or not it's through eating food that nature gives us, using the plants and the herbs and the medicines that nature gives us, or just going and sitting outside and putting your feet on the ground and becoming part of nature.
Beautiful.
And connecting to nature. Yeah. That's what I don't like about this, winter. It's because I spend too much time in shoes.
Yeah,
I don't go outside, but every so often, even though it's freezing cold, I take my shoes and socks off and I walk outside and put my feet on the grass because I need to ground.
Yeah,
exactly. I just need to touch the ground.
Exactly.
And it just makes so much difference. You know, it's like the energy just comes up.
Mm.
You know, even though, you know, I've got trees all around me, but sometimes my feet just need to touch the ground.
Absolutely, yeah. I saw this beautiful video, I think it was on YouTube, and it was all around grounding and what the earth actually gives us. It actually gives us a lot of nutrition in, you know, electromagnetic waves and things like that as well. And it's just a fascinating concept that it is so important for us to walk bare feet because that's what our body was made to do.
Yeah.
And we use, but it's not,
doesn't give us ocean, even better.
Yeah.
Because of the ions within the air. When we sit inside underneath lights, we get positive ion energy.
Yeah.
But when we go out into nature, we get negative ion energy. And if there's water around, it actually amplifies it. So if you can get into nature with water, because you even notice it, when you walk to the beach, you can feel the difference.
Absolutely.
You can feel the water in the air.
Yes.
And the body just wants that. That's what we want. We're made of 70% water, and our brains are 90%.
It energizes us so.
Yes, we just want the water, and you can just notice. Even if you go into the bush, and you know where there's a creek not too far away, because you can feel the energy that's coming to you.
Yeah.
So I love being around water. We've got a property up in Queensland, and it's got two dams on it, and it's got a creek. And unfortunately, I was up there a couple of weeks ago, and the creek was dry, but the dams were full. And it's like, and one of the reasons why I bought this property is because it had the creek in it and it had the dams.
Yeah.
I've got bush and I've got, water. And I'm lucky that where the property is, it's only 25 minutes off the Gold Coast. So 25 minutes I can be sitting on a beach as well. So it's like, it's almost because I won't be as close as I am here to the beach, but at least I'll be sitting in the middle of the bush. So that's fine.
Yeah, lovely. You know, and it'll really lifts up our spirits, you know, and it gives us the energy that we need. And, you know, that's a beautiful way to also nurture yourself and also a beautiful way to connect to yourself as well.
Totally.
So
totally.
You can cope with whatever you experience.
Because unfortunately, we're getting rid of too much nature. I don't know why we're doing it. We're just getting, I'm lucky where we live because on the Northern Beaches, we've still got lots and lots of, you know, bushland around. I'm really, really lucky. But there's so many places, I know, in Sydney that they're just ripping it all out and putting up big apartment complexes. And I know it, I just think that we're, once again, it's like we're changing the way in which we live. By getting rid of nature, we need nature, we need connection to nature, but by taking all of that out and putting, I mean, I know we need housing, but there's got to be another way of doing it.
Yeah, I think I agree.
Making decisions, we'd actually have different decisions being made. I hope that we'd have different decisions, but because what the decisions that have been made now are not, they're not helping us as humans, and that's why we're now getting into conflict. And we're seeing, you know, we see so much anger going around. We're getting rid of all of the nature that's around us, but as we get rid of nature, we're seeing that change that's happening where people are getting angry all of the time. You know, they pull up at a set of lights, and then we have road rage going on. All this stuff, everyone's angry. Yet if we went into nature more and spent more time in nature, you just the energy, that anger, that irritation, all of that, I know for me, it just disappears.
Yes.
It just goes. Nature takes that away and just gives you so much back as you connect into nature. So it does worry me that we're kind of getting rid of so much green space and putting all these concrete blocks on top of them. And I really don't know what's going to happen in the future when we lose more and more nature. We need to have, there's got to be a way where we can keep nature plus continue. Obviously, we've got to be able to support our population, but I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but there's got to be a solution that they're not looking at the moment. And I think if women were in there, we'd be making better decisions.
Yes. I absolutely agree. Yeah, I'm very lucky too because I live here in Earlwood. And I'm near Bartwell Park, and you've got the creek there as well.
Yeah.
And near Woolite Creek, so there's a massive, big bat population there as well, and just a beautiful parkland. So I walk the dogs there, and if I want to meditate outside, that's usually where I go. I've got a few beautiful old trees in the backyard that I can just touch and just be around. It's just, I love being around trees. They really give me so much. Yeah, joy and healing and messages, and they really lift me up. It's amazing.
Yeah, because I think we just forget that we are part of nature. We came from nature and we'll go back to nature.
Exactly.
We try to disconnect ourselves from nature, but we are nature.
We are nature, yeah. I mean, you know, what prevents you from grabbing your laptop and going outside, sit in the park somewhere, overlooking, you know, a water or even just in bushland. Just grab a picnic blanket and do your work from there. That's amazing, you know.
I know. I mean, we are lucky in Sydney. We've still got places around.
Absolutely, yes.
Depending on where you live. Mm. But, you know, I know there's other places where they don't have that. And it's like, because I know that when I've been to some of the big Asian cities, when I was in Saigon, it was the end of a 2-week holiday. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted to do was find some nature because everything was just lots of noise, big buildings, everything. And I just wanted to get outside and find something that was green. And there was nothing around me that was green. Wow. And it was just really, it was closing on to me. And luckily, we were actually about to get in a plane to come home. As soon as I came home, first thing I did is I went to the beach.
Yes.
Because I
just
really needed to touch back to nature. I was just being in all the big cities all the time. I was feeling claustrophobic.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go out because it was just noise and bikes and everybody beeping at me and big buildings. And it's like, and that's how people live. But I don't think that's living. To me, that's not living. I'm so grateful for being able to have the choices that I've got of where I live, and I can go wherever and find. I don't have to go far to go. I mean, I've got planes right here, but straight outside the door, there's a massive great big tree.
Exactly. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I hope a lot of other people have that exposure as well to nature, even if you work you know, for a company, and you know, you have your lunchtime or your breaks that you're able to go outside and
yes.
just take that time, even if it is for 5 minutes, just take that time for yourself, because it is so important to have those breaks and just be outside and, you know, sniff the fresh air. And oh goodness, it does so much for your whole state of being.
That's right. And it increases your productivity as well. Taking, yes. you know, and I've always said to my clients, no matter what, take 30 minutes away from your desk outside every day for lunch.
Yeah.
Just go outside, because you've got to get out of the fluorescent lights to start with, because it's actually really stuffing your energy up. And just to get away from work, because once you, I mean, I've done it, and I've had times whereby, you know, people just come to you all the time, and they don't use their own brains, they use yours. I've had people come to me when I've been sitting on the toilet and passing things under the door saying,
really?
It's like, yeah, when I used to work in the bank, it's like, I need your signature. It's like you couldn't wait 5 minutes?
Exactly.
It's like, oh, really? My
goodness. I've worked in corporate finance, but that has never happened to me.
Oh, no. Oh, I've got a customer. It won't wait any longer. You've got a sign that's like, really?
Oh, wow. I have no words for that.
That's what it was like. It's like you were on all of the time.
Yeah.
And that was before we had mobile phones and everything. It's like, but you had to be on all the time, and people were expecting you to be on
yes.
all the time. And, you know, working in the bank, you know, particularly when I was in a branch, like customers, they just expected that you had to answer their questions. You had to do what they wanted right there, and you had to be on all the time.
Yeah.
It was just, and it was, you know, when because I was a branch manager, it was really hard to even just get that break.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you walked out of the main branch, people were looking for you, and you're just like, oh, hang on, someone else can actually do that. I've actually, you know, other people have got authority to do that. You don't need me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. But then also, that was part of my being an A personality that said, you know, well, you kind of do need me. And
yeah.
That was where I was at the time. It's like, the bank doesn't survive if I don't turn up to work, because I thought that everything revolved around me being there.
Yeah, that's right.
Glandular fever.
I remember that feeling.
Had 2 months off work, and I found out, guess what? The bank didn't close its doors if I didn't go to work for two months. It continued to function.
Yes.
It's a bit of a wake-up call. But I thought they needed me every time.
Oh, those are wonderful experiences.
It is.
So what is one thing that you could perhaps leave the audience with that they can practice or implement or take on board?
The big thing that I think makes really big difference, and you probably know this, it's journaling.
Mm.
You know, the art of journaling, because many, many women are so in their heads, and they have so much stuff going on in their heads. And when you've got that much stuff going on in your head, it means that you actually don't have the space to create something different,
yeah.
because you just keep going on and on and on. So journaling and getting everything out of your head, you know, grab my journal's just, it's sitting here, and you're sitting down in the morning if you've got time. And it doesn't have to, I mean, if you read the Julia Cameron's book, she says,
oh,
very,
I love that one, The Artist's Way. Yeah.
Yeah, The Artist's Way, that you do it very first thing in the morning. I don't do it very first thing in the morning, mainly because generally I've got to get the kids to school and stuff like that. But I do take the time, and I just sit down and I write whatever's in my head.
Mm.
And when I do that, I find that then when it gets a little bit more peaceful up here, I can shift from my head to my heart.
Beautiful.
Because the answers always come from your heart.
Yeah.
But we're trying to work it out here. When we're working it out here, we'll never get the right answer, because truly the answer that you're seeking, you already have.
Yeah.
But it's in your heart. But yeah. you won't hear it because this is talking too loud. So journaling will help quieten this down. And because I find that when this is really busy, I can't meditate either. So I need to journal so that I can meditate. But once I've journaled and I've got a lot of stuff out, then it's easier for me to meditate. So I journal it. And the other thing, you know, I have this journal, and I've got another one that I write down, which is my evidence journal. And what that is and I do that at nighttime, but basically I write down all the evidence that I've seen during the day that the universe is working in on my behalf. So it might be I went to the shopping centre and I got a car park close to the door. mm-hmm. universe is working on my behalf then, I might get some money comes into my bank account, or I sell a program. Oh, universe is working on my behalf. Anything the kids got through the day without actually fighting and killing each other. Wow, the universe is working on my behalf right now. So starting to notice when the universe is working on your behalf, because it's doing it all the time, but we think we're on our own. So just writing that, and because that can also become great gratitude, because then you become grateful for what the universe does give you. And it's amazing when you start to become aware of what's going on. It's a nice shiny day today and I want to go for a walk. Wow, the universe gave me the sunshine rather than a rainy day. So just becoming aware of what's going on. And I found that to be unbelievable, because when I started noticing what the universe was doing for me, I realized that actually the universe is always working on my behalf. Yeah. And I don't have to worry, because the universe will actually do what it needs to do. Whatever you want, the universe will give you. And it's not always the way you want it or the way you expect it, but the universe will deliver it. Yeah. And you just have to start waking up to what it is already delivering you. It's already giving you stuff right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and that, so I use that's what an evidence journal is. And if you read the latest Pam Grout book, which is called Thank and Grow Rich, I think it's called. Yeah, so Thank and Grow Rich. It's based off of Think and Grow Rich. So it's Thank and Grow Rich. Pam Grout did E² and E³, but this one's their latest book, and it's very much about this type of stuff, really noticing what the universe is giving you. And she does it like party favors. It's 30 days of gratitude, but there's different things that you can do, and she does it as like party games, games you can play to see that the universe is working on your behalf. And I just finished reading that, and there's some great little things in there that you just, you know, there's little things you can do, and the gratitude journal or the evidence journal is one of them. And it's amazing that when you start to become aware, you actually see that it's actually all happening exactly the way you want it to, but you have to connect to it.
Yes.
So all this is, it comes back to connection. You've got to be connected to yourself, you've got to be connected to nature, you've got to be connected to source.
Yes.
And when you've got that connection going, there's nothing else you need. That's all we need in our life, is actually to be connected on all levels.
That's right.
But what we're missing mostly is connection.
Yeah, yeah. And hence we are here.
That's right. Because it is all about connection.
Beautiful. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
That's been fantastic.
Very, very wise words. It was wonderful. I have learned a few new things today, which is fantastic. I love it.
Good.
Right. Yeah, you've got a beautiful energy, and I'm sure you're going to be helping so many women. You're doing amazing work, so I'm very grateful.
Thanks for having me. It's been fantastic.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to yet another inspiring episode of Connecting Soul Beings podcast. I love receiving your comments, stories, and feedback, as they are truly inspiring. So please take some time to comment on this episode below. If you love the show, you can help us by sharing and liking it via your favorite podcast platform and our website. And if you feel that we can work together in helping you to connect to your inner self and the animals, then hop on over to biancadeRose.com or find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram under Bianca De Rose. Thank you again so much. Say hi to your pet from me and stay connected with love and grace.